You're listening to Blind Entrepreneurship, an interview series podcast that highlights the stories of the top business professionals around the world. In each episode, we explore how entrepreneurs overcame blindness in business in order to execute their vision. In this noisy digital world, you can't break through the noise. You just add to it. Instead, you need to get in on the conversation where ideal customers are already listening. As a Navy veteran who ran nuclear power plants and an inbound marketing engineer, Tom Schwab has a refreshingly unique approach. He focuses on time-proven strategy, then supercharges it with today's technology and podcast interview marketing. An author, speaker, and teacher, Tom helps you get more traffic, leads, and raving customers and fans by being interviewed on targeted podcasts. To me, podcasting allows us to have an intimate conversation where you're able to ask anything you really want. You can understand the individual better. You can hear how they grew their business, advice about life. The list goes on and on. I wanted to interview Tom, who is the chief evangelist officer at Interview Valet, for multiple reasons. I think it's nice to interview another podcast aficionado, but to learn about how to make money from being on interviews, I think is probably most important. As mentioned in the show, there are always pegs on a table that make it stay upright. And some of those are outreach, advertising, and even PR, just like podcasting. Podcasting is one of those PR elements that is evergreen. It will be there forever and delivers great SEO for you and your business. Check it out. Today's episode is sponsored by Penji. Are you in charge of marketing for your business and need graphic design support? Let Penji design anything you need for your business, from a logo to your marketing materials, sales sheets, social media content, and so much more. Penji helps you achieve more with unlimited graphic design support, daily output, and a dedicated project manager, all at one flat monthly rate. We have an exclusive offer to the Blind Entrepreneur community. Head over to penji.co and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month. Again, that's penji.co, P-E-N-J-I.co, and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month of Penji. And now, let's get to today's episode. Tom, welcome to the show.
Jonathan, I am thrilled to be here.
It's an honor to have you. So before we get into the episode, we have to lay the foundation as to why you, my friend, are a qualified expert to talk about turning listeners to leads.
I'm going to say I've got gray hair and most of them have been coming from learning on this.
There you go.
So my first job out of college was running a nuclear power plant. I always say that I've run a nuclear power plant and a small business. One of them was easy because it came with an instruction manual. That's important because you need to figure out the process on anything. And that goes for leads too. Also have background in e-commerce, background in inbound marketing. And we've been doing this with podcast interview marketing, turning listeners into leads. I've been on over 1,200 podcast interviews. And with our clients, we've had over 500 clients on over 10,000 podcast interviews. So we've seen what works. We've got the system and really have data to back things up, not just opinions.
So that's one thing that you need to know about me is data. And I love it. I love numbers. I love being able to look at them. I love to be able to assess from that point on. So let's just get right into it in terms of lead generation. What do you think is why do you think podcasting and why do you think talking about your story is a great way to generate leads for your business?
Well, I think if you go back to marketing at its heart, right? Marketing at its heart is starting a conversation with somebody that could be an ideal customer. And I always think of, you know, what Rand Fishkin from SEO Moz said, that the best way to sell something today is not to sell anything, but to earn the respect, awareness, and trust of those who might buy. And from that standpoint, everybody's talking about, oh, how do I break through the noise? Come on, admit it. Most of us are just adding to the noise. We're not getting heard. So the idea becomes, how can you get in on the conversation that people are already listening to? You know, how can you get a personal referral from somebody they already know, like, and trust? And podcast interviews are a great way to do that, right? You don't know Tom Schwab, but you know Jonathan. You know the Blind Entrepreneurship Podcast. So you've got that trust. And really, you know, I'm getting introduced here. So just pulling back the curtain of what we're doing here, and you can see why podcast interviews work.
And I think I like to hear just from your perspective, because you're talking to so many people and your clients, you're helping so many people as well. But do you find it relatively hard to track, or at least hard to see exactly where the leads are coming from once you're able to get onto these podcasts?
It depends, right? So certain clients track things differently. So we've got some clients that are software as a service company. They have, you know, closed loop marketing. Man, they can tell you their cost of lead acquisition and their cost of customer acquisition down to the penny. And they're the ones that are saying that this is some of the best leads and customers that they get from a cost perspective. We also get it from clients that, you know, are more qualitative than quantitative, that said, yeah, I get great customers from there. They close quickly. One of the things that we've tested and shown to work the best is when you're on a podcast interview, never send people just back to your homepage, right? Because if you're listening to this on a podcast, you've never seen Tom Schwab, you've never seen Interview Valet, and oh, by the way, you're probably coming from a mobile device. So that traffic just bounces bad. So we always advise and teach to send them to what we call a dedicated welcome page. It's like a home page, right? So the first thing that loads on that is the picture of the podcast host, the picture of the artwork, those trust seals. And then you go through the boilerplate text and the offers in there. So one of the things on that is that if they hit that page, you know, if you go to interviewvalet.com/blind, the only way you knew about that page was from listening to the Blind Entrepreneurship. So it's a great way to actually be able to attribute the traffic that way.
Yeah, very cool. Now let's just start from the very beginning, because I'm kind of potentially getting ahead of myself, because I just feel like podcasting is such a great way to build SEO. I think it's a great way to build notoriety, respect, as you said. But I think you have to start with getting there, right? And pitching yourself. And I've been pitched countless times. I'm sure you have as well. And you do a lot of pitching. But is there a particular secret sauce, or is there a particular script that you use in order to, or a foundation in order to send this whatever email, cold email to potential podcast guests?
That is a great question, and I had to laugh on that, because I get pitched probably once or twice a day for my podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't have a podcast. Yeah. But all of them start the same way. You know, dear Tom, we love your show and would love to be on it. You know, if you're going to lie to me, tell me I'm pretty. Don't tell me you love my podcast. And the problem is that as a podcaster, think about it. Who do you want to have on your podcast? Your friends, friends of friends, and those people you want to be your friends, right? Nowhere in there did it say cold pitch. Nobody likes a cold pitch, so why would you do it? Now, there's lists out there that people are just robo pitching, and I tell you what, we did a study in 2017, and those pitches don't work. And so with that, I always tell people, don't do cold pitches. So do something to build a relationship first, right? So listen to the podcast, share the episode, comment on the episode, leave a rating and review. All podcasters listen and look for the ratings and reviews. If you leave somebody a rating and review, they will recognize it. They listen for their own name, right? We're all vain. So share the stuff out there. And after you've done that for a week or two, then reach out and say, you know, Jonathan, I really love the podcast. I really liked this episode. Prove that you listened to it. I think that I could offer value to your audience, right? Vaynerchuk talks about jab, 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 right hook. I always look at it as give, 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 ask. So the focus is on, hey, I've got a new book that I want to pitch to your audience. Nobody wants that, right? But if you can say, this is the value that I could offer you and your audience, even talk in there about, hey, this is my social media following, and I would love to share the interview with that. Make it so, you know, that you're, you know, what's in it for the host? What's in it for the audience? That's what you want to do. Because like you said, the vast majority of the pitches just go to spam. They don't even get read. You know, even try email. If that doesn't work, reach out to them on Facebook, reach out to them on LinkedIn. I think that's how our team got in touch with you, was through some kind of social media, not necessarily a pitch.
Yeah. Well, I can give you, if I'd like to just share a quick story, and I would say a testimonial to what it is that you're doing. I think I'm at my heart, I'm a sales professional. Like, I'm a salesman, and anytime that I'm being sold to, I will, if it's good, I will respond to it. I get probably, and this isn't me bragging, I'd say at least 5 to 10 messages on LinkedIn a day, asking for business, asking for some type of help, whatever it may be. And I don't respond to any of them. But the one that I did respond was actually from you, one of your team members. And it was so specific to who I am, the episode that the individual listened to, and then it then pitched you in order to be on the show. And who am I to say no to that? Regardless if the whole episode was actually listened to, the fact that you made the individual feel that they are important, I think is incredibly, incredibly powerful. So the reason why I say that is because if somebody that's listening and they are confused and they may not know exactly what it is that Tom's talking about, it is so true, because it was the same tactic and strategy was used on myself.
Well, and that's that. You just hit on two of our core values at Interview Valet. The first, relationships are the ultimate currency. And the second one is, I'll give you three. Another one is, people remember how you made them feel. You felt like you were listened to. And then that in this age of digital automation, it's that personal touch that makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And how far would you even go? Like, what is the extent that you think people should go to in order to actually make that personal touch? Because you mentioned a couple of things like Facebook and listening to the podcast, but do you think that there's like going a little bit too far?
It depends, right? If you're looking to meet with 10,000 podcasts, you'll say, well, that's not scalable. Well, you don't need to be on 10,000 podcasts. You need to figure out how to be on one or two here. Do a good job, and podcasters know podcasters. Yeah. So at the end, you can say, Jonathan, you know, if I did a good job, do you know any other shows that you think I could add value to? And if they tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on, you can get your dance card filled there. You know, another thing that we love is video. Right? Send a quick Loom video. Send a text message from your phone with the video. Is it scalable? No, but it sure connects.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit deeper. So you're saying, and maybe this is how you choose the podcasts, or maybe they choose you. So you're saying that you go on a podcast, let's just say my podcast. At the end of the conversation, you say, hey, do you know anybody that you think could benefit from hearing my story? Was that true?
I typically don't do that, just because where we are in it. When I first started out, and you know, if I wasn't using an agency or somebody to help, I would definitely use that as a tactic. Right now, we're intentionally going out and looking for the top podcasts, the up and coming podcasts, the ones that we really think add value to our guests. And we're going to, you know, to all the meetings. So last year we were at PodFest, Podcast Movement. We'll both be speaking there at MapCon this year. We were at the Harvard University's first conference on podcasting. So we're out there trying to make those relationships with the podcasters, because like you said, nobody likes a cold pitch, but if we've got the relationship with them And we've got, you know, over 90 guests right now, high quality guests. And so it's not just a one-off, but we can build that relationship and introduce them to multiple people.
So you mentioned that all these different podcasts, I think you said 90 different podcasts, like how could you give us some advice in order to give to our listeners about the right fit when it comes to the podcast? Because again, that spray and pray mentality is easy to do, but you also have to be a little bit strategic about how many people you're able to, because if I have, let's just say 10,000 downloads and the next person has 5,000 downloads and so on and so forth, you really start to build that $1 million mark that you're trying to hit in order to get your message out there. So what are some tips and tricks that you use in order to find the right podcast based off of the person that you're working with?
Yeah. And right now we have about 90 clients, but we've got relationships with over 3,500 podcasters. Mm. And, you know, we really focus on three verticals: business, faith and Christianity, and health, nutrition, wellness. But the algorithm that we use for all podcasts is the same one that I think everyone should use, right? So the first thing is look at the podcast itself. Do they have your right audience? Bigger is not always better, right? There could be a knitting podcast that is huge. I would bring no value to that. So make sure that they've got your audience. And, you know, those download numbers are mysterious. They're not publicly available. And really, I don't think they matter as much. Hmm. You can look at things like how many episodes do they have? The sad part is the most podcasts that die within the first 10 episodes. So make sure it's going to be around. How many ratings and reviews do they have? That'll tell you if people are listening or engaging. And a lot of times people will stop right there. But earlier on, you mentioned the SEO value. Mm-hmm. Every podcast you're on should have show notes and should link back to you. Mm-hmm. So look at the website, look at their Alexa ranking, look at their Moz ranking, and see how much value that's worth, right? We've got some clients that are doing this just for the SEO value. And if you ask them, hey, do you want to be on the Tim Ferriss show, or do you want to be on a student podcast hosted by Harvard University? Well, Tim Ferriss's SEO ranking isn't nearly as high as something that has harvard.edu attached to it. Yeah. So we look at that. We also look at the reach, right? So how much are they promoting the episode? And that could be on social media. That could be email. There's some podcasts that have a huge email list that they send it out to. And some people may not listen to the podcast, but they're still getting the information. If we've got a client that says, hey, I'm trying to build my Instagram following, well, look for podcasts that have a large Instagram following. Mm. So the fourth thing that we look at is experience with previous clients. So this is something that only we have visibility to, but you know, some podcasts always converted well and some podcasts just never converted well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the format.
So that brings up a great point. You mentioned the Tim Ferriss show, which is probably in most worlds the dream in the world of business, right? And I'm sure he gets pitched thousands of times a day, but it also seems like he's pretty selective and he chooses who he reaches out to in order to be on the show. With that in mind, maybe not to that high level of scale, in order for you to be on the Tim Ferriss podcast, in order for you to be on whatever large business podcast there is, you have to understand the story. You have to understand your story, excuse me. And you have to also be able to deliver value to the person that you're talking to and the listeners. So what are some ways that we can prep in order to orchestrate that story if we're currently struggling to create one?
Well, I think podcasts are easy because, you know, they ask, you answer, right? It's not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. So when people ask you the questions, they're common questions. So you'll get better with that. And just like in the same way, when new shows hit Broadway, they don't start at Broadway. They start off Broadway. They practice it, all the rest of that. God help you if your first interview is on Tim Ferriss. It probably will never see the light of day, right? Yeah. It'll probably be so bad that he won't share it out there. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, in the same way, unless he knows somebody, they've probably been on other podcasts, other media. They're comfortable with that. You know, you don't practice for the first time on there. You know, Oprah show, it's not the first time you've been on television when you're there. So that sort of thing. So really focus on what you can share, move off your talking points, and have an authentic conversation. Those seem like are the ones that convert the best. The other thing too is make sure that it's a discussion, right? So we've had to coach a lot of people. Sometimes it's a keynote speaker that's used to talking for 45 minutes and he doesn't let the host get a word in edgewise. Other times we've worked with, I can think of one that was a Fox News contributor, and we had to say, Morgan, you've got to talk for more than 30 seconds. You know, he was used to a 3-minute piece where the interviewer talked for a minute and he talked for two, and his answers were to the point, small sound bites, but it's like, this is going to be really long. So he loved it because he could get into it, tell his story, and really tell better stories.
That's really awesome. And that actually leads me to so you're telling these stories, right? And you're getting on these podcasts, and we kind of hinted at it when it comes to lead generation. And I got ahead of myself, and I do apologize to the people listening that I'm a little sporadic in this conversation, because I think podcasting is such a great way to create leads for your business. So with that in mind, you have it on your website, and I just want to dive in a little bit deeper about filling your funnel. So you mentioned earlier that you would go on some, at the end, you're going to say it again, and the link will be in the show notes, but it's going to be whatever.com/blind in this situation, right? Mm-hmm. So now they go on to that landing page. Let's talk a little bit about what should be on this landing page. And then let's dive in a little bit more about what happens after the fact and how long does it take. So let's start there. You get on a podcast, you're finally there. It's your first one ever. You tell an amazing story. They go to the landing page. Then what?
Well, make sure that you give them a reason to go to the landing page, right? And most marketers will tell you one call to action. We've tested it over and over, and three calls to action always work best on a podcast. Give them a small yes, a medium yes, and then the heck yes, where they're coming with credit card in hand to talk to the wizard, right? And as we talk to people that we're more or less selling from the stage, they're like, oh yeah, you got to meet people where they are. If you watch an infomercial, you'll see that's how it sort of goes. So do something to get them back there. It could be a checklist, right? So the one that I always offer is we've got a checklist that we give to all of our clients of all the things to do to prepare for an interview. You know, checklists are written in blood, make sure it's somebody else's blood. So that's like just a free thing. They can go there. The medium is, okay, they're a little bit more interested. So give them a video to help them build a relationship with you. Give them a free book, a free download. You know, I always give away the book that I wrote, you know, Podcast Guest Profits, How to Grow Your Business with Targeted Podcast Interviews. And then finally, if I've listened to you for 30 or 45 minutes, don't make me go through a funnel if I want to buy. You know, if they come with credit card in hand, don't slow them down.
Interesting.
There's a great book out there, especially if you've got a higher end product. There's a great book by Bill Troy called ClickSand, How Digital Marketing is Ruining Your Business. And one of the points that he makes is that big fish don't swim through funnels and whales don't click. So the bigger the customer, the less likely they are to buy your $7 tripwire and go through the nurturing sequence. They just want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, give them an easy way to do that. So give them the heck yes. And all those are on that welcome page. So, you know, if you look at that welcome page, I'll tell you exactly what's going to be on it. It's going to be the Blind Entrepreneurship logo. It'll be Jonathan's picture. Then there'll be some text that complements the podcast, complements the host, does something to tie our mission together with the host's mission. some boilerplate text, my picture, right? Because some people will come back just to see what the face is behind the voice. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put those three offers in there. The small yes, the medium yes, and the heck yes. And, you know, also put your social media in there if they want to connect with you. But with that, you've got to give people a reason to go from being a passive listener to an active visitor and ultimately an engaged lead.
That's interesting because, I mean, you probably know this better than anybody, but that goes completely against the ideology of the new age 2019 mindset of funnels, 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 getting them into funnels, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think it goes against that because when they click on those offers, they could go into a funnel. But right, but if I've heard you for 30 or 45 minutes, yeah. if you had a personal introduction, you know, think about it. If we got together at a party, we're at MapCon there, we talk for 45 minutes and you say, wow, Tom, this sounds great. How do I get started? Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, just, you know, go back to the website and start at the beginning of my funnel. You're going to look at that and go, wow, you know, I don't want to go through all that. Can't we just get started? So I think it's really meeting the people where they are and where they are in the funnel and in the buying process there too. You know, the flip side there too is that it'd be really creepy if you took them from a cold ad, a Facebook ad, one picture in a sentence, and the next thing is buy the product, especially if it's a higher end product. It's not going to convert. But if I've listened to you for 30 or 45 minutes, if I'm like, oh yeah, Jonathan is the person for me. I love what Penji's doing. They work with customers like me. I want to work with them. Well, you know, just let them sign up from there. And yeah. Like I said, you know, you say it goes against what we're taught. I go back on the data and say, we've tested it over and over and this always converts the best. And really it took us a while to figure out why it converted the best.
I do see. So I'm on the interviewvalet.com /blind page. And I'm just like reviewing it as you're talking. And I do see two things where it says, learned the 9 secrets to getting booked on your first podcast. And then the ultimate podcast guest interview checklist, et cetera. And then directly big button that says buy now with Amazon for your book, podcast guest profits. And I'm sure that those two on the both sides would say that could be some type of funnel in order to get them to become a client. And the big ask would be, hey, buy the book because it's something that, yeah, just buy the book to buy into the brand.
Yeah. And even above that, you can get the book for the free, right? So if you want to buy it, you can, but you can download it for free. The big call to action there is schedule an assessment, yeah. Right? So, we want to talk with people to make sure that they're going to be successful in this. So we used to have where you could just sign up straight from, and we're like, that funnel didn't work because at the end of the day, we don't want just another customer. We want another raving fan.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I think that's awesome. So something else that you've been doing a lot of, and I've combed your social content, and you do a lot of video, and I think it's amazing to do this video, but you've also done a lot of speaking. And so I'm curious, to the people who want to speak, right? The people who want to make this a career, because there are a lot of people that I've talked to in particular that want to do more speaking in order to share their story. Which one do you think comes first? Do you think it's the credibility piece where you're constantly on podcasts and getting that brand recognition, even if it is your own self brand, and then translating into speaking? Or do you think it's the other way around? Could you just start at speaking and go into podcasting from there?
I don't think there's really a difference. It's just a different medium, right? So Pete Vargas from Advance Your Reach talks about stages, and you've got a physical stage, or you've got a digital stage. And the funny part is that, you know, you may drive an hour, you know, to speak in front of a stage of 75 people. And, and people would get worried about that. But you go on a podcast, you can speak to thousands of people across time. and you don't have to leave your home or your office. Grant Cardone, early this year, announced that he was doubling the price of his speaking events. You know, so if you want him to come in and speak, he doubled the price on that because he said he can't make money doing that. Even with his plane going around place to place, he said digitally, he can make more money just speaking on podcast and digitally. And somebody once told me, they're like, well, yeah, but if I do a keynote speech, I get paid. If I do a podcast, I don't get paid. Mm. And I'm like, well, then you're doing podcasts wrong, right? Mm. Because if you've got a service, if you've got something that can help people, you should be getting paid for every podcast interview. You know, some people talk about this as rainbows and unicorns and, oh, it's PR and it's just getting your exposure out there. I look at it as more as marketing, you know, yeah. And if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And so from that standpoint, if you can get on a podcast, if you can have your own podcast, you should be driving leads and customers from that.
And when you say money, you don't mean, or you, when you say dollars, you don't necessarily mean like a booking fee. You more so mean that I'm on this podcast in order to drive revenue to whatever it is that my business is doing, right?
And you look at the best paid speakers out there, they're not getting paid to be on the stage. You know, they're going to a Tony Robbins event and they're promoting their course, right? Instead of getting paid a few thousand dollars or $10,000 to be on there, they might have a $1 million stage. So they are paid to be there, but just not by the event organizer.
Mm, yeah, that's very powerful. Something else that comes to mind is, I mean, you kind of hinted at it, but I'd like you, if possible, to just go a little bit deeper. It's just the time it takes, because a lot of people are impatient. You mentioned earlier, I think it was on the in the very beginning, people aren't able to see the results because of they stop at 10 or somewhere around there, and people may not see results when they get on other people's podcasts, and they may stop at 10 for that too. So how long have you seen in order for these types of traction to start to take place when being on these podcasts?
And you make a great point there, Jonathan. This is an investment of your time. It's like you're planting a seed, and you don't plant the seed and then come back the next day and go, where the heck's the tree? You know, where are the apples? Where are the oranges from it? No, it's taking time from that. And so what we see is that each podcast builds upon itself, and it's evergreen too, right? If I spend a dollar on Facebook marketing, I'll know tomorrow the results, but I guarantee you that's the only results I'll ever see from it. Whereas if you're on a podcast or you have your own podcast, you know, that's the content out there. That's the links. It's going to go out through time. So we see it building upon itself. And that's one of the things we always talk to people that, you know, if they've got a long-term vision, if they're looking at the lifetime value of a customer, that's the kind of person that does the best off of podcast interviews. We've got clients out now that have been out 4 years and they still get traffic, leads, and customers from podcast interviews 4 years ago. It's weird at times where they'll start talking about something you talked on a podcast and you're like, I don't even remember that one. And that's the other reason to send them to a dedicated welcome page, is because if you talk about an offer and then 2 years later, your homepage changes and somebody listens to that podcast and goes there and they don't see what they're expecting, you know that traffic is gonna bounce. So give them an evergreen page for the evergreen content.
Yep, that's the word that came to my mind, is just that content and podcasting is there forever and it's evergreen. So I'm glad that you said those exact words. Very powerful. I want to end this conversation by talking about the future of podcasting, because I think podcasting is such a powerful tool. You love it. I love it. But at the same time, there's a large majority of other people who aren't even involved. And I believe, actually, I won't say my belief right now. I would like to ask you, where do you think the current state of podcasting is? And where do you see it going?
currently, I think we're in the golden age of podcasting. And that's not my opinion. I was at a conference at Harvard University last year, and that's what they called it. And then CBS, calling it the same thing. So I think this is the golden age. Now, where's it going? Is it going to change? Yes, it always changes. And I think the funny part is one of the best things they could do, I saw this in Medium the other day, is drop the word podcasting, right? I asked my two youngest daughters who are 22 and 19, what's the pod stand for in podcasting? And said, I don't know, Dad, what's pod stand for?
Shut up, Dad.
Yeah, but the thing is they've never known a world with iPods, right? That's where it comes from. And will we call it podcasting 5 years from now? Probably not, right? It'll be on-demand radio. But the amazing part about it is that we live in such an amazing time here is that we can create in the way that's easiest for us. And then we can use technology to repurpose. You know, somebody asked me one time, you know, when do you think podcasts will get to 100%? Right now, they say 50% of the U.S. population listens to podcasts. I'm like, television, radio, and newspaper never got to 100%. 10% of the U.S. population is hearing impaired. They're not going to listen to podcasts, right? But we can produce in the way that's easiest. For me, writing a blog is homework. Talking to you is fun. So we could still take this audio, take this video and transcribe it, clean it up and make it into a blog for those people that like to read. We can take the snippets out of it and put it up there on social media for people that want to use it there. So the future of podcasting, I think, is very strong. The audio is a great way to tell story.
Love it. And so incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I'm so appreciative of your time and your education around podcasting and lead generation. I always say that there's different legs of a table in order for your business to thrive. And a lot of it comes to cold outreach. A lot of it may come through advertising. And then there's also the PR element as well and the storytelling. So I'm really happy that you're able to share your expertise today. And Tom, if you could just do us a favor, tell us again the link that you've been talking about that we've highlighted today and a little bit more about how people can find and research you to potentially become a client of yours.
Sure. So thank you so much, Jonathan. And it was fun sort of meta talking about this and pulling behind the curtain. So everything we talked about, you could use too. It's not a mystery. It's not magic. It's a system. And it's a reproducible system. And if you go to interviewvalet.com/blind, you can get the 9 secrets to being on your first podcast, the checklist, a free copy of the book, and you can do the same thing. Now, if you're thinking, oh, I just want to be the guest and I want to have somebody else do all the rest, well, that's what we focus on, right? That the best copy comes from your clients, and that came from a client. And he said, you know, you've given me the cookbook with the book there on how to do it. And he says, I don't want to be the chef. You know, I just want to enjoy that. So we work with authors, speakers, coaches, brands, and really that want to get their message out there. They know that their biggest problem is obscurity. They could help so many people if they only knew they existed. So if we can be of any service to you, please feel free just to come back to interviewvalet.com/blind.
And all the links will be in the show notes. As always, Tom, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Blind Entrepreneurship brought to you by Penji. Our guest this week was Tom Schwab. All right, listeners, I'm sending a worldwide challenge. This week, I'd like you to go do something for yourself. Go out to a nice restaurant, order that one thing that you've been craving, get out of the house, go for a walk, go for a jog, take a different route, whatever it takes, you deserve it. You've been working incredibly hard and you need to treat yourself. And when you do, tweet me at ChrisBalskyJ or head over to tbeshow.com and drop a comment on this week's episode. You can find more about Tom directly on the website that was mentioned in the interview, which was interviewvalet.com/blind. And as for Penji, you can check us out at penji.co if you need a fast, simple, and affordable graphic design solution for your business. And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the absolute world to us if you would just share it with a friend. It's the only way that we can cure blindness in business. Go out there and execute your vision, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.